Welcome to the Good Health Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Good, a certified functional medicine practitioner, registered nutritionist, and author. In this podcast, we delve into the world of energy and immune health and wellness with positivity, from optimal health and energy to stress and burnout, right through to immune conditions such as thyroid and autoimmune disease. We deep dive into functional medicine, nutritional medicine, and lifestyle medicine, as well as the personal stories of our amazing guests, from Olympians to famous faces, and guest experts from all different parts of the health and wellness world. It's time to stop letting your health hold you back and become the optimal version of you. Don't forget to come and join the conversation on Instagram at good_health, that's G-O-O-D-E, or visit the website nicolegoodhealth.com to find out more. If you feel tired most days, you're not alone, but that doesn't mean it's normal. For so many people, tiredness has become a thing that we explain away. We're told it's just stress, that we're busy, that this is what life looks like now, or that it's simply a part of getting older. And over time, that background tiredness starts to feel ordinary. You get used to functioning at a lower level of energy. You stop questioning it and you just push through. But there's an important difference between feeling tired occasionally, for example, after a poor night's sleep or after a particularly full-on week, to feeling tired most of the time, even when you're doing your very best to rest. Persistent fatigue isn't a weakness. It isn't a lack of motivation. And it certainly isn't a character flaw. Feeling tired all the time is information. It's your body telling you that something in your system needs support. And that's exactly what we're going to start unpacking today. Welcome to the Good Health Podcast and welcome to 2026. If you're listening as the new year begins, I hope you had a restful Christmas break. And if you're new to the podcast, I'm really glad that you're here. I'm Nicole Good, a functional medicine practitioner and founder of the Good Health Clinic, where we work with people who feel exhausted, burnt out, or stuck in patterns of low energy and chronic stress, as well as those with chronic illness, who really want to understand what's going on beneath the surface. I'm also the award-winning and best-selling author of Optimal You, Supercharge Your Energy, Strengthen Your Immunity. And this podcast is where I share a science-led, whole-body approach to health without extremes, fear-based messaging, or quick fixes. As we move into this new year, we're starting with one of the most common concerns I see every single day, and that is energy. Because when energy is supported, everything else becomes easier, from sleep to stress to hormones, immunity, and long-term health. So let's jump straight in. One of the most striking things I see, both in clinic and in everyday conversations, is just how normalized exhaustion has become. Feeling tired most days is no longer seen as something to question. It's almost expected. It's a part of modern life. We joke about it. We bond over it. We often wear it as a badge of honor. Somewhere along the way, being busy became the same thing as being productive. And being productive became part of our identity. So feeling tired started to feel like proof that we were doing enough. We lean heavily on caffeine to get us going in the morning. We push through the day on adrenaline. And when the body starts to slow us down, we tell ourselves, we'll rest later, after this project, after this deadline, after this season of life. And because everyone around us seems to be doing the same thing, it becomes very easy to dismiss what our own body is telling us. We think everyone feels like this, or other people cope better than I do, or I should be able to handle this. Comparison is incredibly powerful here. When exhaustion is widespread, it starts to look normal, even when it isn't healthy. From a clinical perspective, what's really important to understand is that the body is exceptionally good at adapting. It will compensate for a long time, so it will find ways to keep you functioning even when resources are stretched. Fatigue often isn't a sudden collapse, it's a gradual adjustment. Energy output will slowly drop to match what the system can realistically sustain. And because that shift happens over time, many people don't notice it happening. That's why fatigue is so often the first sign of imbalance, not the last. Long before clear diagnoses or obvious illness, the body starts to whisper that something needs support. The problem is that we've become very good at ignoring those whispers. So something I want you to think about, and this is not to judge or analyze, just something to really notice. When did feeling tired become your normal? One of the most important shifts I want to make today is this. Fatigue is not a diagnosis, and it's not a personality trait. It's data. When energy is low, it's very easy to turn that inward, to assume something is wrong with our motivation, our resilience, or our mindset. But biologically, energy is an output. It's the result of how well your body's systems are functioning and how well they're working together. Your energy reflects how effectively your stress response is regulated. It reflects the quality of your sleep, not just how long you're in bed, but how restorative that sleep actually is. It reflects how stable your blood sugar is across the day, how much immune load your body is carrying, and how efficiently your cells are producing energy at a mitochondrial cellular level. When those systems are supported, energy tends to be steady and reliable. When they're under strain, energy drops, often quietly at first. And this is why the idea that we simply need to be more motivated doesn't hold up biologically. Motivation is not the starting point. It's often the result of having enough energy available. When energy is low, the brain quite sensibly pulls back. So focus will drop, drive will drop, even enthusiasm for the things that you normally enjoy can fade. That's not because you've become lazy or disinterested. It's because the system is conserving resources. It's also important to say this clearly. You don't need to be burnt out, chronically ill, or at breaking point for fatigue to matter. Early stage fatigue is very common and it's often subtle. You might still be functioning well on the surface. You might still be getting through your days, but the body is already adapting, already signaling that something needs attention. And the encouraging part of that earlier phase is often it's the easiest time to intervene. When fatigue is recognized as information rather than something to just push through, it becomes much easier to restore balance before the body is forced into a dramatic compensation. Now, this doesn't mean that if you've reached burnout or you've got a chronic illness or you feel like you're at breaking point, that you still can't do something to help support your energy levels and build those back up. But rather than asking what's wrong with me, it's much more helpful to ask, what is my body responding to and what does it need right now? Start seeing that lack of energy as information. One of the reasons that fatigue so often goes unaddressed is that it rarely arrives all at once. It tends to show up in small, easily dismissed ways. So patterns that we normalize, we work around or we explain away. Many people will tell me that they don't feel exhausted. They just feel like they can't quite get going without a bit of help. Maybe they need caffeine to function in the morning. Not as a pleasure, but as a requirement. And then often that reliance grows over time. Others describe feeling that kind of wired but tired, so physically exhausted but mentally switched on. The body feels heavy, yet the mind won't slow down. That's often a sign that stress hormones are doing a lot of the heavy lifting, keeping you going when energy reserves are already low. Another common pattern is crashing after work or at the weekend. You push through the week, you hold everything together, and then as soon as that pressure lifts, your energy drops. That isn't weakness, it's delayed recovery. The body finally feels safe enough to stop compensating. Brain fog and poor concentration are also very common early signs, so you might find it harder to focus, to think clearly, or to hold onto information. Tasks that used to feel straightforward start to take more effort. Again, this is not a motivation issue, it's an energy availability issue. Many people also notice that they need longer to recover than they used to. A busy week, a workout, an illness, things that once felt manageable now take more out of you, and it takes longer to feel like yourself again. And then there's sleep. You might be getting enough hours, but it doesn't feel restorative. You wake up feeling unrefreshed, as though your body never quite dropped into deep recovery. Clinically, these patterns are very often signs of poor recovery rather than failure. They reflect ongoing stress signaling in the body and a mismatch between energy demand and energy supply. This isn't laziness, it isn't a lack of discipline, and it isn't something to criticize yourself for. It's the body adapting, doing its best with the resources it has. And the earlier these signals are recognized, the easier it is to support the system back to balance. One of the reasons fatigue can quietly progress is because the body is incredibly good at compensating. It will always prioritize keeping you functioning, even when resources are stretched. In the short term, that compensation can feel helpful. Stress hormones step in to maintain energy. Adrenaline fills the gap. You get through the day, the week, the deadline. From the outside, it can look like resilience. But compensation isn't the same as recovery. When early fatigue is ignored, the body doesn't suddenly stop working. It simply shifts how it works. Sleep is often one of the first things to change. You might struggle to switch off, wake frequently, or wake up feeling unrefreshed, even when you're exhausted. Over time, hormone signaling can become disrupted. Cortisol rhythms lose their natural flow.
blood sugar becomes harder to regulate, sex hormones and thyroid function can be affected, not because the body is failing, but because it's adapting to prolonged demand. The immune system is another area that often shows the cost of pushing through. Some people find that they catch every bug that goes around. Others notice low-grade inflammation, slower recovery from illness, or flare-ups of symptoms that had previously been quiet. And eventually, for some, this pattern leads into what we recognize as burnout, not as a sudden collapse, but as a gradual loss of capacity, or into chronic illness or an autoimmune disease. Things that once felt manageable now feel heavy. Recovery takes longer. Even rest doesn't seem to restore energy in the same way that it used to. This is why the idea of "I'll rest later" so rarely works. Rest is most effective when it's timely. When the body is already deeply depleted, a short break often isn't enough to undo months or years of adaptation. There's an important reframe here. Pushing through isn't resilience. It's borrowing energy from the future. And eventually, the body will ask for that energy back, usually at a time that's far less convenient. The good news is that recognizing this pattern early changes everything. When we respond to fatigue as information rather than something to override, we give the body chance to rebalance long before it's forced to slow us down. The most important thing to take away from all of this is that fatigue is not a fixed state. When it's recognized early and approached with understanding, it's often very responsive to support. Even further down the line, when you've burnt out or got a chronic illness, fatigue is something that we can work on. Rebuilding those energy stores is something that you can do. Energy tends to improve when the body feels safe, not just physically, but psychologically. So when stress signals are quieter, when recovery is prioritized, and when systems are supported together rather than tackled one at a time, that's when extreme changes so often backfire. Drastic routines, rigid rules, or sudden overhauls can add more stress to an already stretched system. In contrast, small but consistent shifts tend to restore energy far more effectively over time. And it's in our nature to want to do too much. But you don't need to do everything at once. You don't need to be perfect. Energy improves when the body is given the right conditions, and often that process is a lot gentler than people expect. This is why energy is the foundation of everything we do in the studio and the clinic. Because when energy improves, everything else becomes easier. Sleep becomes more restorative, stress feels more manageable, hormones and immune function start to stabilize. So rather than seeing fatigue as something to fight or push through, it can be helpful to see it as an invitation, a signal that your body is ready for a different kind of support. So as you go away, having listened to this episode, I want you to really just simply notice your energy, not to analyze it or to try and change it, but just observe. Notice when your energy dips, notice what seems to drain it, and just as importantly, what helps restore it. You don't need to draw conclusions yet. Awareness on its own is often the first step. Over the rest of this month, we're going to be exploring energy from a few different angles. We'll look more closely at the biology of energy, what's actually happening inside the body when energy drops. We'll talk through real-life energy patterns that I see each week in clinic, and we'll look at how to rebuild energy safely without burning yourself out further. For now, if today's episode has given you a little more understanding, or even just a sense of relief, that's enough. Please don't forget to like this episode or subscribe or share it with somebody who you think might benefit from this episode. And remember, you don't need to fix anything yet. Just stay curious. And I'll see you on the next episode of the Good Health Podcast.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Good Health Podcast. Do share the episode with anyone you think it may benefit and help us to spread the word on all things health and wellness by rating, liking, or subscribing to the podcast. If you want more, you can listen to more episodes on your favorite podcast app or sign up to my newsletter for my favorite tips, tricks, health advice, brands, recipes, and more at nicolegoodhealth.com/newsletter. Have a lovely week. Don't forget to hit subscribe, and I'll see you on the next episode of the Good Health Podcast.